Hey, you're listening to the Encounter Church podcast. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit us at ecdenver.org, or you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you for listening.
We're here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, and I've been thinking about Jesus' resurrection, and this has been stirring in my heart for actually several weeks now. And I'm really, really excited to talk about Jesus' resurrection. It's such a fantastic Sunday, such a fantastic celebration, opportunity to consider that Jesus and the significance of Jesus raising from the dead. So I want to walk you through a couple things. First off, I want to just remind you of the scripture. In Philippians 3, verses 10 and 11, it's one of my favorite verses of all times. It says, I want to know Christ, and I want to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to share in his suffering with him and his death, so I can also experience resurrection. And that's my prayer, our prayer for you today, is that you experience resurrection, not just to celebrate Jesus and his resurrection, but that we have resurrection in our lives. And so in thinking of knowing Jesus, the power of the resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, I want us to think about the reality of Jesus' resurrection, the necessity of his resurrection, and the potential of his resurrection. So say this with me, reality, necessity, potential. You're like, I feel like I'm in school again. Sorry, just kind of goes with the personality, the design. But I want to talk a little bit about the reality. And I'd invite you, if you have your Bibles, flip over to John chapter 20. Because in John chapter 20, this is where we read about Jesus' resurrection and the reality of it. And I think this is such an important thing for us to look at and to consider. Because in John chapter 20, you get a couple of scenarios where people are struggling to embrace, recognize that Jesus has risen from the dead. So for example, in verse 24, we read about doubting Thomas. And I like doubting Thomas because sometimes I struggle with a little bit of doubt. Anybody in the room ever? Like, yeah, okay. We all, and we can relate to Thomas at various times in our lives. Some of you here, this is like your first time in church, and you're like, doubt? I don't even know what I believe, let alone doubt. And some of us, you know, we've been doing the Christian thing for a while, but we have some doubts because sometimes life is just takes unexpected turns. And some of us are in the room, and we've walked away from Jesus, and we're like, no, I don't believe him at all. And I like that Jesus can talk to us, regardless of where we're at on that journey, regardless of where we find ourselves, whatever we're thinking at the time. And even Thomas, so Thomas was one of Jesus' followers, 12 disciples, and Jesus had showed up to the other 10 disciples. Judas was out by now, right, because he hung himself. But there were 10, and Thomas, for whatever reason, wasn't in the room when Jesus showed up that first time. And so all the disciples, when Thomas showed up, they're like, oh my goodness, he's risen from the dead. And Thomas is like, no, I don't believe it. No, it's true. He popped in the room. We couldn't believe it. We dropped our, it's shocking. He's like, no, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And I like that. I like that God can embrace and accept and work with doubt and unbelief. I love that even in our unbelief, Jesus steps in and says, that's okay. It's not shame on you. How could you be such an idiot? None of that stuff. And I like what Thomas says. Unless I see him face to face, unless I put my hand in his side, which personally I think that's really disgusting, right? I mean, where the sword pierced him, no, don't need that. Or touch the, you know, the nail prints in his hand. I'm not going to believe. And I like that Jesus said, that's totally fine. I can be available to help you overcome the unbelief. And so then he says to Thomas in verse 24, he says to him, reach here with your fingers, see my hands, and put your hand in my side. Stop unbelieving, but believe. And even I was thinking as well, there was another dude that brought his son to Jesus. His son had epilepsy and was plagued by demonic oppression. And the father brought his son to Jesus and said, you know, the demons throw him in the fire and he falls down. And if you can do anything, help us, help my son. And I like what Jesus says to him. If I can, only believe. And the father says to him, help my unbelief. And regardless of where you're at on this journey and your faith, if you find yourself doubting, if you find yourself in unbelief, then maybe it's the opportunity to say, help my unbelief. And you're not going to find Jesus come to you and say, well, you know, you ought to and this and that. None of that. I like that he says, all things are possible. I've even risen from the dead. Here I am. Let me speak to you. Let me give you my body to give you concrete evidence that I've risen from the dead. So the reality of Jesus' resurrection is important for all of us. But I also want us to think about the necessity, because it is necessary, it is very necessary that Jesus is risen from the dead. And when we think about the necessity, on John 20, verse 19, we read what it says here, and it says, when it was evening on the day, the first day of the week, the doors were shut, the disciples were in fear of the Jews. And I want us to take a moment and think about this necessity. So at this time, in this verse, Jesus had died on the cross. And prior to this, Peter and Mary Magdalene, they had gone to the tomb. He wasn't there. But it says here that all the disciples were hunkered down in this room because they were afraid. They were afraid of the Jews. And they were afraid because the Jews had crucified Jesus. The Romans had crucified Jesus. And they didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know if it was going to be like this, you know, concentric circles of persecution. If it starts with Jesus, then they're going to come after us. Oh my goodness. And if they come after us, then what? And we have to run and we have to hunker down in fear. And at this point, in this situation, they needed a resurrected Jesus. And I would say for each of us in the room, we need a resurrected Jesus. We don't need a dead Jesus. We don't need a wise teacher, a scholar, an ancient scholar. And we don't need all the, you know, the philosophy and the right thinking and just spiritualism. We need a resurrected Savior. And we need him in our lives. Because I find in my life, you do as well from time to time, that sometimes life gets overwhelming. I feel like, oh, I don't know how to do this. You might feel like the disciples, afraid, hunkered down in the room. I don't know what the future is going to be. People are angry. They're persecuting me. I'm scared. I'm anxious. I don't have the finances. You know, I got this bad. All these reasons. We need a resurrected Savior. So it's not only the reality of resurrection, but the necessity of resurrection. And finally, I want to talk about the potential for resurrection. We read about this. This is my favorite part. Oh my goodness, you are in for such a treat. This makes me like giddy. So in John 20, 21, this is the potential. And I appreciate that what happens in John 20, 21 is that Jesus shows up and he says to them, peace be with you. As a father has sent me, so I send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And what I want to point out to you is that when Jesus breathed on his disciples, this was resurrection breath. That means they inhaled resurrection breath. And when you inhale resurrection breath, then family, what can stay dead? Think about it. I want to put this into your mind as well. I want you to think for a moment. There are things in your life that seem dead, right? Situations, circumstances, job opportunities. You know, maybe you're applying for a school and you got turned down. Maybe you've had some hardships with people, that dead situations. All of us have areas in our life that are dead, that need some resurrection. And I want you to think about this as well. There are areas in your life that are dormant and that have no life, no vibrancy. They may not be fully dead, but they feel like they're inanimate and maybe stuck like a statue. And I want you to think back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Because in this verse, we see that God makes all of creation, and then it says, God's got in the dirt and sculpted together all the dirt to create man. He made a statue. In fact, Michelangelo took lessons from God, if you think about it. Can you imagine God, like, literally getting his hands dirty and forming and shaping and creating the most magnificent human statue that's ever existed in the entire history of the world? Think about it. And I appreciate that God could have stopped right there. Oh, look at this beautiful statue. Oh, I have made the ultimate masterpiece of all of my creation. And he could have stopped there, right? But I appreciate it. He could have said, you know, this is good enough. We got giraffes. We've got, you know, Venus flytraps. We've got beautiful trees. You know, we've got all kinds of cool fruit. You know, like an ugly fruit. Anybody ever see an ugly fruit? You're like, is that really? It is the name of a fruit. It looks like a jackfruit. Kind of doubles as durian, maybe. Anyways, that's a rabbit trail. But God could have said, I'm going to stop right here. Because if I breathe into him, then here's what's going to happen. Because God, being all-knowing, knows God that Adam is going to eat, Eve is going to eat the tree, right? The snake, you know, and then we're going to get the fall, and then we're going to get the angel to keep him out of the Garden of Eden, and then we're going to get, I mean, pick something, the flood, Noah, right, that's bad, and then we're going to get Sodom and Gomorrah, and then we're going to get, oh my goodness, if you read the book of Judges, that's a downward spiral, holy buckets, they chop up a concubine into 12 pieces, send her through. I mean, let's just stop all of that before it ever starts. I wonder if God paused. I wonder. If it was me, I would have been like, woo, let's just celebrate what we got here. But it says that God breathed into that statue, and man became a living being. And I say this because not only did Jesus breathe on his disciples, resurrection breath, receive the Holy Spirit, but God breathed into humanity from day one, and we became living. So whatever is dead in your life, or whatever seems to be a statue, lifeless, inanimate, it's the potential, family. It's the potential for resurrection life. And as you think about your life, I'd like for you to identify what would be two things where you would like resurrection breath. How many of you can think of two things? Then I'd like for you to hold those two things in your hand, kind of symbolically, because I want to pray. I want to pray for you that the resurrection breath would come into those two things and that you would see a turnaround from death into life. So let's hold those things in our hands right now. And Father, we lift up to you these two things. Each person in the room, everyone watching online, we lift up to you and we recognize that with you, all things are possible. Now we thank you that you breathe, just like you breathed into Adam, just like you breathed on the disciples. You breathe the breath of life into these things that are dead and statues. And we thank you that this day is a turnaround day, a resurrection day. Easter of 2024 is your presence and your power, your resurrection, your life flowing into each of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. That's the potential. So the reality of the resurrection, the necessity of the resurrection, and the potential. And as we think about this, I want to give you a couple things to look at for some takeaways. The first thing is the reality of the resurrection. Do you have any unbelief in your life? Is there any area where you don't believe that God can, God does, or God will? Is there any unbelief? Because just like doubting Thomas, just like the father whose son was demon-possessed and struggling with epilepsy, we can say, help us in our unbelief. So is there any place and space in your life that has unbelief? Then let's bring that to Jesus. And let's be open. You know, one of the things I want to point out to you is that God speaks to us in different ways. You know, with Thomas, it was the unbelief, and Jesus said, here I am with resurrection. And Thomas had an openness to put his hand in the side, to touch the nail prints. And I think sometimes, if we're not careful, we hold on to the unbelief so much that we don't give God the opportunity to make a change for us. So maybe it's time to let go of some of the unbelief and say, okay, I don't understand it. I've had unbelief. Help me in my unbelief. And I want to be open, because God can speak to you in different ways. And just because he did that for Thomas doesn't mean he's going to do the exact same thing for you. I believe that God speaks to us uniquely and individually. That some of us who are more cerebral and need proof and evidence, and we like logic and rational, God absolutely can speak to you in those ways. For some of us, we need a miracle, we need a sign and wonder, you know, a healing, something. God can absolutely do that. But let's not put God in a box on how he chooses to work with our unbelief. God can work, and I've had God speak to me. I remember there was a season in my life where I was angry with God. I felt like God had abandoned me. And there was, and I was held on to that. I was mad, and I was, you know, cranky with God. Like, I'm going to punish God. You know, you did it wrong. And I remember God said to me, you know, Sarah, can you just pause for a second? Let's go back to the situation where you thought I abandoned you. I just want to open your eyes to tell you I was there and show you how I was in that situation. And when I had my eyes opened, it was such a realization to me, oh my goodness, you were there the whole time, but I didn't believe. I didn't recognize you. And so, family, let's let God work in the unbelief. Let's be open for God to say, look, here's some ways that I can talk to you and encourage and help your unbelief. The second thing I'd say is with the resurrection, letting that permeate in all of our lives. Letting it permeate in our relationships, in our thinking, in our mindset, in our outlook, in our health, in our choices. Sometimes we make choices that are anchored in death. And God's saying, let's let the death be gone in the past, and let's make resurrection choices. So let's allow Jesus' resurrection to flow throughout the entirety of our lives, physically, mentally, our outlook, in our relationships, in our daily living. That resurrection has the potential to be part of our 24/7. So as we think about Easter and celebrate Easter, Jesus, death and resurrection, I want to give you the opportunity as well today. I'd like to ask you to close your eyes and to bow your heads. For some of you in the room, you know, this is talking about Jesus. You know, it's Easter, so, you know, this is what we do. We talk about Jesus and resurrection. But I'd like you to give you the opportunity to ask Jesus to come into your life. For some of you, this would be a brand new beginning. This would be like, never started, never done this before, never asked Jesus to come into my life. For some of you, this would be a do-over. You know, if you play golf, it's a mulligan, a do-over. But everyone in the room that would like to ask Jesus, needs to ask Jesus to come into your life or have a brand new beginning, I'd just like you to slip up your hand. That's all I'm going to ask you to do. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to come up front. I'm not going to ask you to do anything other than slip up your hand. Just saying, yes, Jesus, I need you to come into my life. I need a brand new beginning. So everyone in the room that with your hand up, as well as everyone seated, the whole of us, let's say this prayer. Let's say this together, repeating after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming into the world and dying on the cross. I'm sorry for the wrong things that I've done, and I receive your forgiveness. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. From this moment, for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit ecdenver.org or find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.